You're listening to Valley Edition. I'm Joe Moore. Next Thursday, Fresno art lovers will be out on the town enjoying the city's monthly Art Hop event. But this month, the first Thursday also has an added component at Arte Americas, an event organizers are calling Book Hop. It's a chance to meet local authors and purchase some of their newest works. Two of the authors featured join us now, David Moss Masumoto and his daughter Nikiko. In our studio, they have their new book, Changing Seasons, A Father, A Daughter, A Family Farm. Moss also has another book titled A Sense of Yosemite, which is a collaboration with photographer Nancy Robbins. Moss and Nikiko, welcome to Valley Public Radio.
Thanks so much for having us.
Oh, thank you. It's always a pleasure to share some stories with you.
I want to talk about the Yosemite book in a moment, but let's start out with your collaboration, Changing Seasons. Now, that is a name that has we've talked about a lot here on this program, both in the Changing Season film that was on PBS nationally. Now there's a book. And it's some new material. Tell us about how this came about, Moss.
We wanted to make a collection that was sort of a companion book to the PBS broadcast, and it would give more of the backstory of some of the themes and issues that were in that PBS film, which was about Nikiko taking over the family farm and the dynamics of generations and transition. This gives the backstory of some of those themes of my parents and grandparents and their experience on the land, and also the dialogue, the exchange between Nikiko and myself.
Nikiko, what's it like getting to work with your father on a book?
It echoes many of the ways that we work together on the farm. There's lots of laughter. There's lots of respect and exchange. And there's also lots of differences of ideas. One of my favorite sections of the book that I think really captures some of the departures and differences between us across generations and across opinions is there's a couplet of essays, one by me and one by my dad, about feminism and farming. And it's a fun window into my orientation as a woman farmer, as a queer farmer, as a proud feminist farmer, and my dad's kind of interesting negotiation of what that means for him.
It's her nice way of saying that I was dumbfounded when she showed me this essay and I was wanting to respond to it. So, you know, my first line was, you know, am I a feminist farmer? And I kind of go through a process of trying to think through this because it was a question I was never asked before.
So there's a little bit of a dialogue back and forth here. Talk about that.
Yeah, there's a couple different pairs of essays that we write about either the same topic or similar topics. And so we're hoping that when people get to read from our different perspectives, they hear this really generous and serious negotiation across generations. That's all part of, I think, a lot of what families, specifically family businesses, go through as people age and newer generations age too. And how do we talk to each other? How do we communicate with each other? And how do we negotiate some of the differences in generations?
Go ahead, Moss.
And the book is really divided into three sections, sort of the past, present, and the future. And in the past, we do explore the common family history that, of course, Nikiko and I share, and a different perspective that she has on that, of me growing up on a farm, you know, in the 60s and 70s versus her growing up on the farm and much more in this century, but also the present and especially the future of what we're going to look at and the things that are unknown that are part of this story.
Now, we've had both of you on this program and this station before and talked about some of these things, and I think I've often asked Nikiko, what have you learned from your father? Moss, what have you learned from Nikiko in both this book and in overall?
You like that silence that I had right there? it's a learning process. I mean, the whole idea of transitions and generations is something that you think you're prepared for, because obviously I went through it with my father and taking over the farm with my father, but it's always different, and it's this new ability to understand that things are always incomplete. And in looking at that perspective and understanding that as Nikiko learns some things, it learns things differently than I did, and also has a completely different perspective. Sometimes I realize the best thing I could do is have a moment of silence and think things through as I realize I don't need to respond, because in an amazing way, this is all new to me, and I think, of course, new to her.
Is it also in some ways a matter of just that there's not necessarily a right way or a wrong way? There's just different ways?
Well, at first I thought the right way was my way, of course. Yeah. And then the next realization was, well, no, there isn't a right way or wrong way. It's just different. But you know, Joe, as you get older, sometimes you don't want change and difference. You want things to stay the same, but that's not quite how it works.
Again, David Masumoto and his daughter Nikiko Masumoto joining us today on our program. They have a new book called Changing Seasons, A Father, A Daughter, A Family Farm. Moss also has another book, which we'll talk about in a moment. It's called A Sense of Yosemite, which is a collaboration with photographer Nancy Robbins. Nikiko, what have you learned in the process of now doing this book, especially in the context that this is after the film? You already kind of know what came out of that process and going through that experience of having the documentarians and everything that happened during that time. What have you learned during that process?
I think a couple things, specifically with the book and the way that we have continued to engage in conversations that you see in the film. One of my conclusions is that we can never listen enough. Listening is an ongoing process, and real listening requires being attuned to your own assumptions, and that's really hard work. It's really, really hard work. And I think one of the gifts from the film for me was realizing that there was a hunger from the public to hear these kind of behind the scenes processes, like these really intimate moments of how we consider each other, how we physically farm together, how we walk through the halls of the house that I now live in with my partner that my dad grew up in, and how we negotiate as that house physically transforms and changes, and we have a changing sense of home. And how can we, across generations, not make the elder generations feel obsolete, but rather have their work and their story be part of the root of the change that is happening now. And that work is never done. And it takes a lot of patience and it takes a lot of renewal of energy. You can't just listen once and say, okay, we're done. We have this, 50-page plan of how we're going to transition the farm. No, it's an ongoing process as we change, as we grow, and we all age together.
Moss, when you make a film, when you write a book, there's at some point the final manuscript is sent in. It's done. It's finished. The final edit of the film is done. It's out there. But what you're writing about here is really about transition and a process. And not necessarily just walking away and saying, hey, Nikiko, it's yours. See you later. Is that the interesting part of this? Because it's not just a finite conclusion, because things are always changing and there is no end point here.
When you work on a film or a book, there is obviously a point where you have to stop and let go, because they need to go to the film needs to be broadcast and the book needs to be printed. The challenge is, of course, life continues. And in that, there's this whole sense that life is always incomplete. And it's hard. There's times when you want closure on things. And you go, no, life is always about continuing this journey. And it's part of the biggest challenge for me. Because as I age, there are times when you would like to put closure on something. Now, there's this natural rhythm in farming where every season you have the end of the season like we have right now where, we get some good rains. There's the first chill in the air. You know, the leaves are falling on the trees, off the trees. So there's a sense there is the end of one year. And you take a deep breath, and then you look and realize there's another year and another year. That's the beauty and joy of life, but it's also the challenge, too, because it's never ending.
Your thoughts on that, Nikiko?
Yeah, Joe, I think you picked up on something really nuanced and really at the heart of what we live out on our farm, working intergenerationally, that we have a tendency to want to iron out narratives of story. We want the really easy beginning, middle, and end, and a kind of bow on the conclusion, right? And you know, I'm guilty of this myself, coming back to farm, thinking that being a next generation of farming meant that the transition was all about me. And that's not true at all. And that the moment is not a single moment, but it's decades of transition. And we have to tend to ourselves and tend to that unfolding story, even though it's sometimes frustrating or sometimes tantalizing in wanting to wrap things in that nice, beautiful bow. And so that I think exactly what you picked up, this incompleteness, this unfolding over time, is what makes both the film and the book so important for us to document, to take a pause and reflect on in a process that is full of emotion and uncertainty in for both the good and the bad.
The book is called Changing Seasons, A Father, A Daughter, A Family Farm. It's by David Mas Masumoto and his daughter Nikiko Masumoto. They join us today on Valley Public Radio. They'll be signing this book, which is available for sale next Thursday night, December 1st, at Arte Americas for Art Hop. There's also another book, though, Mas, which I want to bring to the table here and tell our listeners about, and it is a little different. This one is about Yosemite, and you're collaborating with a photographer. How challenging is it to find something new to say about something that is so universally known, so ubiquitous as Yosemite?
It was an interesting, I don't know if a challenge, an interesting endeavor, because I saw the photographs of Nancy, and they're stunning photographs, and she, again, wanted to take pictures of Yosemite from her perspective. She lives in the area. She's not a visiting photographer. She knows it well. She knows the backcountry well. So they initially asked me to write about Yosemite, and I thought about it, and I realized I wanted to write from my perspective, which was a perspective of a farmer looking at Yosemite. And one of the passages I talk about, our farm lives in the shadow of Yosemite. We're 90 miles south of the southern gate to it. And in the book, I try to weave in a farmer's perspective of the sense of place and how that parallels a sense of place about Yosemite. There's a chapter in there, and Nancy took this amazing photograph. If you remember the Rim Fire, that was about 2 or 3 years ago, that devastated that whole area. You could see the smoke from our farm, and most of us in the valley at one point were breathing in that smoke too. So it was the realization of the question, is Yosemite our Yosemite, or is it something distant? And that fire in many ways made us realize we're all part of this whole region. We're sharing, literally sharing the air of Yosemite with all of us. And it gave me a different sense of looking at how do I relate to this amazing national park as a farmer. And that's how the stories began.
Your first essay in the book looks at Yosemite through the eyes of a farmer. And you write that growing up you went to Yosemite, but not often enough. Mm. Tell me about those early experiences and what you mean there by saying that.
One of the ironies is most people go to Yosemite during the summer, and it's when it's gorgeous, you know, the waterfalls are going. That's on a farm, our busiest time. So we never went during the summer. We were always going in the off season. And we, even though it was that close, we didn't go as often. And I think it's very true with most people in the valley. We don't understand and engage with this national treasure as much. But yet, I think we have developed a relationship with it. And there was this old picture that I found from, you know, 1959, when I was like 5 years old, mm-hmm. and we're crossing this old wooden bridge in part of Yosemite over the river there. I thought about that moment in time and what it meant to be part of something amazing and grand that endures. And the things in Yosemite are the same. I mean, you still have Half Dome and you have Yosemite Valley. They're the same, and yet they're different because time has passed and I have changed too. So I would look at that photograph of that bridge, and there's a whole symbolism of crossing the bridge with my family and my father, who was this hardworking farmer who rarely would vacation in Yosemite, but yet understanding that wonder of nature and a nature that he worked with daily on the farm at the same time.
And those legacies of those photos that come back to us when we see these places again. You also take the idea of sense of Yosemite in another way, the other senses that we have, mm-hmm. sight, sound, touch, taste. Tell me about that.
Well, one of the thoughts is we tend to visit places through our eyes and what we see. But one of the questions I pose is, what does Yosemite smell like? And there are aromas in Yosemite we may relate with the smell of pine. But there are other aromas in Yosemite that are part of it. And some of it is like the aroma in Yosemite Valley if you're in there in the evening and you smell campfires. And you know that this is not just a place that's exiled from humans. Humans are part of this. We're part of Yosemite. So you breathe in that campfire, and it automatically connects you with maybe campfires you've had and experienced in your life, whether it be in Yosemite or not. That's that wonderful dynamic of the power of story and memory and the senses, because you can't just separate them. They all come together. So when I breathe in a scent of a campfire, no matter where I am, I will think of Yosemite at the same time. But there are other things. What's the sound of Yosemite? What's the feel of Yosemite? And all of those senses we have experienced. We just may not be that aware of it. So through Nancy's photographs and some of my words, hopefully the reader will be able to enjoy all those different sensations of Yosemite.
Nikiko, given what Moss is just talking about, especially with the photos and the shared memory of this place, which all of us have some connection to and a similar story in some way to what Moss just talked about, a common thread between what you're talking about in Changing Seasons and what Moss is talking about in this book as well?
I think so. When I hear my dad talk about relating to Yosemite as a farmer, I think there's a question there about public sense of belonging. And I think that that's a question that we are grappling with, working with between us on the farm, of like a shared sense of belonging across generations on the farm. And it's definitely something that we take up in our work feeding people. How do we cultivate the earth and at the same time invest in relationships that foster a shared sense of public belonging? Because I think that is a key if we're thinking about environmental sustainability, economic sustainability, and the circulation of stories that give us meaning. I think we really need to pay attention to that shared sense of belonging.
And one of the dynamics too, Joe, is that when you think of Yosemite as a public space, a national park, for the public, for the common good, we grow fruit that's not private. All of our peaches and nectarines and the organic raisins, they go into the public. So in a way, our farm is public too. And what's that relationship? Because it's not just a commodity. We do like to think of it as if we're selling a relationship with each peach and a story with each peach, which makes our farming very different the way we approach it.
David Moss Masumoto and Nikiko Masumoto will be at Book Hop. It's coming up next Thursday, December 1st, at Arte Americas in downtown Fresno. They'll be there with a number of other authors displaying their latest books, signing, not a formal reading or anything, but a great opportunity to connect with some of the Valley's finest authors. The two books, again, we just talked about A Sense of Yosemite, which is a collaboration between Moss and photographer Nancy Robbins, and also Changing Seasons, A Father, A Daughter, A Family Farm by David Moss Masumoto and Nikiko Masumoto. Thanks so much for both of you joining us today.
Oh, it's a pleasure. Thank you,
Joe.